Blog Talk Radio.
Saints of God, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Is This the Church? And I am your host, Sister AJ. And we have a great show lined up for you today. And without any further ado, we'll go ahead and get started. The first thing we're going to do is I'm going to play a couple of verses of scripture. The first one we're going to listen to will be 2 Peter, and I'm paying particular attention to the verse 3 because the show's topic for today is Scoffers Will Scoff, is what I'm calling it, but we're going to use the backdrop of a recent event that took place going on 6 weeks ago, the Grammy Awards. This isn't news, and some of you have probably heard about some of the controversies and opinions that have been going on out there, but I would like to talk about that on here. So first scripture we're going to listen to, as I said, will be 2 Peter 3, followed by Jude.
Second Peter 3, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. The Epistle of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left to their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor, These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your own most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, aiding even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Amen to that. And as they would say in some churches I went to, may God add a blessing to the hearers and also the doers of his holy word. Amen. Okay, so what we're talking about today is scoffers. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a little bit of a definition or something that explains what a scoffer actually means, particularly in the context of the two scriptures verses that we listen to. And it reads, a scoffer in this context is one who mocks Christ, ridicules the things of God, and opposes the gospel. Both Peter and Jude were writing warnings against false teachers who were intent on leading others astray. The word scoffer refers to one who denies the truth of Scripture and entices others to go along with this error. Because even though we're going to look at the Grammys, which is the world, and we're not surprised that they do what they do, but we'll have to put on our hip waders today and walk through some of this dirty water and muck and mire in order to get to this part, which is the people who are saying they're our brothers and sisters in Christ, but who also mock God in certain ways. Continuing, scoffers have been present since the Garden of Eden. Satan's first temptation of man was in the form of scoffing at God's command. Did God really say? Scoffers dominated Noah's day, leaving God with the choice of to destroy the earth and start over with Noah, the only righteous man on earth. Scoffers refuse to believe the word of the Lord and set themselves up as their own gods. The psalmist warns against the digression that leads from casual association with wicked people to sitting in the seat of scoffers, Psalm 1 and 1. Embracing their own worldview and sharing their faith. And that's happening that we see some of the people that we're going to look at when we get down to church folk. It appears that some of them are sitting in the seat of scoffers and embracing their worldview quiet as kept. Although scoffers have been a part of this fallen world, Scripture seems to indicate that as the day of the Lord draws near, the scoffing will increase. Peter describes these scoffers as following their own evil desires and questioning the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Thousands of years have passed since Jesus ascended to heaven, promising a return for his faithful ones. Scoffers point out the lapse of time and mock those who still wait and yearn for his appearing, and they certainly do that. Let's see if there's anything else. I think that pretty much makes the point. Now we're going to have to go to Creepsville here, and we're going to talk about, as I said, the recent Grammys that were on TV, and a lot of controversy erupted surrounding that and everything that was presented there. But to get to that, I'm just going to play a little song that is creepy, but it is appropriate for what we saw on that stage. So we're going to listen to this song, and after which I'll give you some examples of the scoffing, because there were some news reports that came out, and they were pretty scathing and mocking of Christianity. But first, our little theme song for the topic today. Okay, and in that song, they were saying basically, "Hail Satan," and regardless of what the scoffers say or think, to defend this and to make fun of Christians for being upset about it, they were worshiping their god, Satan. They were doing rituals right in our faces. And, of course, they've been doing it for a very long time, decades. It's nothing new. But that doesn't mean that we as believers and followers of Christ don't have the right to say anything when they mock our God and disrespect him so blatantly and openly as they do in a lot of these ceremonies. So now what we're going to do is listen to a couple of news outlets that covered the story, and they kind of and this is the mocking that I was referring to from some of these newscasters.
By the way, Rowan, at the Grammys, probably the world's top music awards ceremony, right, held in Los Angeles on Monday, a lot of conservative commentators were appalled that one of the acts by a supposedly non-gendered singer Sam Smith and Kim Petras performed what seemed very much like a satanic ceremony, you know, a hat with horns there, flames, bondage, lyrics of doing something unholy. Now, the conservatives who complain, they include a senior Republican, they're being mocked, Rowan, for getting upset over a mere song, taking it out of context, for just being conservative. Your view?
Well, I hate to break it to people, but rock and roll has been flirting with Satanism since Robert Johnson went to the crossroads in the 1930s and in his own song and in his own words did a deal with the devil to become he was at the crossroads, he had a choice, and he made his choice. The Rolling Stones, of course, called themselves their satanic majesties. They wrote songs demanding sympathy for the devil. Rock and roll, our own, Akadaka, ACDC. You go to an ACDC concert, you may as well be the satanic masses, the horns and the pitchforks and the whole Satan cartoon imagery. So there's nothing particularly shocking about rock and roll flirting or music flirting with the devil or Satan, say, satanic imagery. Indeed, it was Al Gore who probably wishes he doesn't remember the fact that he launched a campaign against satanic messages in music. He and his wife, Tipper Gore, back in the 90s, before he discovered climate change bandwagon, he was on this bandwagon of, rock and roll is satanic. But you and I, Andrew, know from our own rock and roll careers, you as a drummer and me as a guitarist, you and I chose not to make that deal with the devil. And therefore, we didn't have a rock and roll career, obviously. I mean, we could have been, two of Australia's greatest rock acts, but we refused to do that deal with the devil. And if you don't do the deal with the devil, I'm afraid, you don't have a rock and roll future ahead of you. That's just the way it goes. But joking aside, you had Marilyn Manson biting heads off chicken. You had Alice Cooper biting heads off different chicken, I hope. But, there's a long history of this thing. But the original sin in rock and roll is not Satanism. The original sin in rock and roll, Andrew, is a lack of originality. And this Sam Smith character and this song, it is so unoriginal. It is so boring. And I've got to tell you, if Sam Smith did the devil deal with the devil, he did a pretty chonky deal, because I always thought if he did the deal with the devil, the deal was that you'd stay slim and fit and healthy and be like Mick Jagger and you'd still have 22-year-old Vogue models until you're well into your 100s. But poor old Sam Smith, his deal with the devil seems to have gotten a free pass to the local McDonald's for the last few years. Sorry, that's shaming, not allowed to say that, body shame. But I'm sorry, if you cavort yourself in underpants around on stage, I think it's fair that you set yourself up as a target for body shaming. The reality here is the song is boring. The video that goes with the song makes orgies look like the most dull and grotesque and repugnant things you could possibly ever, or certainly trans orgies, which is what this is all about. It's celebrating a trans orgy where you see transgender people, and this is supposed to, if this is a turn on, I've got news for the trans industry, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, Rowan, I think I might have gone a little too far in the other direction, frankly, playing, swinging safari and pearly shells. country dances.
Okay. Now, one thing that the guy did say toward the end there that was correct is that it's promoting certain agendas. And anybody who's seen images of Sam Smith, he is one of those guys that it is gender fluid, as they say, and he's just into that lifestyle. And another thing, these things accomplished because the images from his performance, if you've seen them, it's like hell. You know, the whole room is got this red glow. He's dressed in red as the devil and Satan, and he's got these people in red. And we all know these colors mean something in the occult world. And he's got these people dancing around him, which, by the way, at least half of them are men, even though they're dressed up like women. But when you see the close-ups, you can tell these are guys. There is an agenda being promoted for sure, and plus it's another way of just putting it in God's face and in the face of God's people. But we're going to listen to a bit of another news report, and they really make it a point to talk about how stupid people are. Now, I also want to point out they're not going to necessarily say Christians. They'll say religious conservative, right-wing conservatives. They use all those kinds of wording, but you can best believe that they do include us Christians in this, in what they're in that group and in those labels. Some of them just aren't saying it directly yet.
And the left have been freaking out over the Grammy Awards for different reasons, of course. Why don't we start with right-wingers, who apparently were very offended by a Satan-themed set at the ceremony. You have Sam Smith and Kim Petras, who won the award for Best Pop Duo and Group Performance on this night. And so they sang their hit single, Unholy, which obviously means that they worship Satan and would like your children to worship Satan, according to the right wing. Now, during the performance, Smith sang while dressed head to toe in red, including a devil horn hat, while being surrounded by dancers who resembled Samara from the horror film The Ring. So you see the images. It is what it is. It's their artistic expression, and if you're concerned about children watching this, well, don't have your children watch the Grammys. It's that simple. You get to control the TV your children watch. But religious conservatives were not pleased by this. I'll give you a few examples of how they reacted, beginning with Ted Cruz, who says, "This is evil." And he's quote-tweeting Liz Wheeler, who says, "Don't fight the culture wars, they say. Meanwhile, demons are teaching your kids to worship Satan. I could throw up." Look, Liz, you guys fight the culture wars because it's all you've got. We all know it, okay? That's all you've got. That's all they're obsessed with. It's endless culture war garbage that we all have to engage in, because if the left doesn't engage in it, then the right runs their mouths about how the Grammys allegedly want your children to worship Satan, which is insane.
Okay, so, you know, one of the things I wonder when I see stories like this is, was the country always this crazy, that where you would have a giant chunk of people think that that was actually related to Satan, that Beelzebub himself was like, yo, bro, Sam Smith, I got an idea for the Grammys, okay? It's a little on the nose. We're not going to be very subtle here. Why don't you dress up as me and then get everybody else to dress up like demons and stuff? And that way, I bet a lot of people in America will go, oh, Satan, yeah, that's the guy I should look into, and then they'll become demonic. Okay, so if you don't realize that that sounds crazy, we're not going to get through to you. You're going to think,
no,
like...
No, there's more. There's
okay.
More. It's so
but,
good.
But my question is, like, when I first looked at it was, was a giant chunk of the country always that crazy? And I think the answer is yes. And so the difference now is that we're seeing them. Because of the online world... all this is bubbling. Their reaction is bubbling up. Before, mainstream media wouldn't cover, like, you know, honestly, the giant chunk of the country who thought, no, that's actual demons on television, and they're going to come out of the TV and grab our...
I just want to say no one thinks that those are actual demons, but it's a demonic ceremony in a lot of ways. And a lot of things what this accomplishes by immersing people in these images and bombarding them with things, especially kids who are very impressionable, even if they're not looking at the Grammys, they may see these things in a lot of places on the internet. But it can desensitize you to this. It can, especially if you have no church background, you don't know the Bible, you're just a person who may be a moral person, but you don't really believe in God. So there are a lot of us that are or were at one time vulnerable to these kinds of images, and yes, they can influence your behavior, particularly if you see it enough. And there are a lot of people who have acknowledged that they started dabbling in Satanism and many other things due to the music they listened to and the images that they took in regularly enough to make them curious about it. And that's one of the reasons they do it, even though these folks are trying to downplay it. We'll listen to a little bit more of this.
It's or whatever, because they thought, that's nuts, so we're not going to cover it. But because of social media, it just, and then they get together in a community, and then they're stronger in that community, and they're like, yes, we knew it. The devil's real, and he's inside your TV. And so now we got to fight him and debate him and say, no, that's actually not the devil or Loki or Beelzebub.
You just turn it off. You get what I'm saying? You just turn it off. There's so much content out there that I ain't got no interest in it, right? Like, I don't need to come up with crazy conspiracies. I don't need to fearmonger about children in my family being radicalized by shows I don't like on television. Just turn it off. We live in a country that's incredibly diverse. It includes people who don't believe in Satan, people such as myself. So when we see performances like this, we don't freak out because we don't think it's real, and we're not worried about anyone being radicalized to be worshipers of Satan. Here's Christian life coach Solomon Bucci, who thought that the performance was not symbolic, okay? If, as a Christian, you think we are reaching when we talk about the dominance and normalization of Satan worship in pop music, you need discernment. Sam Smith's performance at the Grammys last night was satanic, gory. No, it's not art. It's symbolic of who they serve. Yeah, I'm sure Sam Smith serves the devil.
No, but look, guys, if you're...
Sam may not serve the devil, like, knowingly, but, you know, like they say, useful idiots and dupes and minions, you know, Satan uses all of us, and it may not even be about serving Satan outright that you know of. It's simply he wants to draw us away from the Lord or keep us from ever knowing him. That's what Satan wants to do, and these folks cooperate with his agenda when they promote these things, particularly in Hollywood. Because people look up to that. Even Christians have their idols and Christian entertainers that we sometimes look up to who are mixed up in this as well. But I think, well, that's, you pretty much get the idea of what a lot of these folks are saying about people who were upset about what went on at the Grammys. Now, the next video we're going to listen to is going to give, it's a mini documentary where they're just going to talk about the history of Satan worship at the Grammys leading up to the current one that we're talking about today.
Tabloids, political talking heads, and just about everyone is talking about the shocking performance by Sam Smith and his hellkeeper, Kim Petras, at this year's Grammy Awards show. The performance has been called a satanic display by many who watched, and in a now-deleted reply on Twitter to Sam Smith's pictures previewing the performance, the official CBS Twitter page said, "We are ready to worship." So just what were they worshiping? Well, the seductive display of half-naked worshipers bowed down to Smith while he displayed himself in a top hat with devil horns, as flames marked much of the performance as his co-star was kept in a cage as his hellkeeper. The host of the Grammys, comedian Trevor Noah, joked about the performance as he imitated a phone call with his mom, calling him and reminding him that she warned him of the dangers of Hollywood.
"Yeah, you did warn me about Hollywood. Yes, yes, you did, Mom. Yeah, you did. I will. Thank you, thank you. She said she'll be praying for all of us. Thank you. All right."
The performance was then followed up by an advertisement by none other than Pfizer, who has also drawn the ire of millions of Americans who believe that this isn't the first time they have helped to thrust something upon the public without any discretion. In an interview, Petras was asked what exactly inspired the Hellbent performance.
"Well, I think a lot of people honestly have kind of labeled what I stand for and what Sam stands for as religiously not cool. And I personally grew up wondering about religion and wanting to be a part of it, but then slowly realizing it doesn't want me to be a part of it. And so, it's a take on not being able to choose religion and not being able to, you know, live the way that people might want you to live. Because, you know, as a trans person, I'm kind of already not wanted in religion. So we're doing a take on that, and we're kind of hellkeeper Kim."
Petras was subject to mass media coverage in Germany from a young age as he underwent gender transition surgery so early in his life that he was declared the youngest transgender person in the world. When Petras was just 13 years old, he appeared on a German news show where he spoke of his medical gender transformation. His goal was to receive sex reassignment surgery at age 16 before the current legal requirement of 18 years of age in Germany. He is now making headlines again for being the first transgender artist to win a Grammy for the best pop duo group performance. And while pushing transgenderism and homosexuality in the mainstream is a clear objective in these demonic demonstrations, another goal that many of the artists, songwriters, and performers have continued to push forth is the normalization of God-hating in the form of modern-day Satanism. In fact, a recent study in the UK showed that Satanism is the new trendy religion and that many of the young people are turning away from what they believe is old, rigid religion into a new wave of do what thou wilt in theory and practice. Over in the United States, it isn't looking any better. In speaking of a Salon article praising Satanism, one writer attempted to show how Satanism is indeed everywhere in our culture and how we got to a place where worshiping Satan is now normative in the U.S. Quote, "But how did we get to a point where an online magazine with 10 million monthly readers is hailing Satanists as last-ditch heroes? The truth is that our modern sympathy for the devil has deep roots, and Americans, in particular, are highly susceptible." In the article, it documents how fictional books such as Milton's Paradise Lost fomented some of the hearts of the antinomian dissenters who pushed against religiosity and pendulum swung from Catholic dogma into the waiting arms of lawlessness, and even pushed against the law of Christ as a moral ethic for governing the true body of Christ. Lawrence Clarkson, an antinomian contemporary of Milton, even wrote in one 1640 pamphlet that sin is fake news. Quote, "Sin hath its conception only in the imagination. Therefore, so long as the act was in God, or nakedly produced by God, it was as holy as God. As they say today, believe in yourself, and you can do anything." A century after Milton, the antinomian celebration of self-expression accelerated in the Romantic era. The engraver and poet William Blake declared in his 1790, The Marriage of Heaven and Hell, that, quote, no virtue can exist without breaking these Ten Commandments. Jesus was all virtue and acted from impulse, not from rules. While the article attempts to show a connection between the Revolutionary War and the rebellion of Satan, that is a bit too far-reaching to be accurate. It does give a good understanding of some of the acceptance of rebellion in the culture from the likes of Crowley, Nietzsche, and the Church of Satan founder, Anton Zander LaVey. As it is stated in the article, quote, and tracing the history of that rebellion brings us today to the startling conclusion that post-Christian America is an increasingly Satanist regime. But is this rebellion simply a heart for lawlessness? Are those who are captivated by the idea of living without the limitations of a moral law simply worshiping self? Or is there something more sinister going on that they are not even privy to? While many think that following Satanism is actually this very form of rebellion and not the literal demonic worship that it is, many do not realize that the very founders of the religion, both Aleister Crowley and Anton Zander LaVey, believed in a literal Satan. Crowley, explaining in his autobiography, The Confessions of Aleister Crowley, quote, I simply went over to Satan's side, and to this hour, I cannot tell why. And also wrote that he, quote, was not content to just believe in Satan. I wanted to be his chief of staff. Anton LaVey, being more diplomatic and sneaky with his betrayal, was exposed for the deistic Satan worshiper that he truly was. We detailed this account in our video, True Hollywood Hauntings. LaVey convinced many that joining the Church of Satan was merely a symbol of rebellion and not an actual religion that believed in a literal Satan. The only problem with that is that they've been lied to. What they simply see as rebellion or the advancement of their will and the acceptance of self was really a delusion tainted by not only Satan, but even LaVey himself. In an article by Joe Schimmel titled, The Truth About Satanic Cults, he details his experience with one of the Manson murderers, Susan Atkins, and her knowledge of what Anton truly believed. One of the delusions that we will clear up at the outset of this article is the lie that leading satanic cults do not believe in or truly worship the devil. First of all, it should be understood that Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, viewed Satan as a true entity that he actually worshiped before his death. Anton LaVey deceived a lot of people who joined the Church of Satan by claiming that Satan only represented the repressed forces of nature, but was not a real entity. In my interviews with former Charles Manson family member, Susan Atkins, who was still in prison at the time after being convicted of 8 murders, she blew the lid off of Anton's lie. As a former associate of Anton LaVey's, who danced for him and spent personal time with him before joining the Manson family, Atkins was privy to conversations with LaVey before he became popular. Atkins told me repeatedly that while LaVey promotes a watered-down, palatable form of Satanism to the ignorant masses, which he is deceiving, he acknowledged the exact opposite to her and to his inner core of Satanists in the Church of Satan. Susan Atkins shared with me that LaVey had told her emphatically while she was in his home that they truly worship Satan as a real entity and as the one who began the initial rebellion against God. Atkins also stated, quote, Anton told me that as a Satanist, he does believe in the God of the Bible, but he refused to worship him and made a conscious decision to worship Satan instead. And Anton himself let his hair down regarding his true beliefs as well. LaVey let his guard down when responding to other Satanists that considered him not extreme enough. LaVey, while in a defensive mode, admitted that the image that he presented publicly was deceptive, declaring, quote, if they're at all intelligent, other true Satanists, they'll realize that there's only so much I can say publicly. I will not advance things in print which make my position untenable. How long would the Church of Satan have lasted if I hadn't appeased and outraged in just the right combination? it requires a certain amount of discretion and diplomacy to balance the outrage. While the downplay of Satan continues in our modern culture, the truth remains that he is a murderer from the beginning, and he is the father of lies. Anyone who is following him, in jest or not, given over to his power, knowingly or not. While many people were aghast at the satanic ritual performance at the Grammys, the truth is that these satanic performances have permeated the Grammys for many years.
At the 2012 Grammys, Nicki Minaj had a mock exorcism performed on her and later claimed that she did it to prove that the demon that possesses her, which she claims is sexually perverted and calls Roman, is too powerful to be cast out. At the 2014 Grammys, Katy Perry performed Dark Horse with a performance of what appeared to be a witch's Sabbath with Satan and demons glorifying her. At the 2015 Grammys, the music industry went beyond the 666 stage set, Katy Perry's witch's Sabbath, and showing Satan's power through impotent exorcisms to even more straight-up, in-your-face devil worship. Incredibly, Madonna came out with all kinds of devil-horned demons appearing to worship her as she sang her song, Living for Love. She went so far as to use mock Christian imagery with a choir singing in the background while she sang about being born again and on my knees in the dark, and then like Satan himself about falling from heaven as she's depicted as falling from heaven on the Grammy stage. She or the demon channeling her now appears to be living for the love it can get from its worshipful fans. Not to be outdone in devil worship, AC/DC sang their ode to Satan, Highway to Hell. Before millions of people in what is supposed to be family entertainment, they sang I'm on a Highway to Hell and about selling their souls to Satan for fame and success when they sang Hey Satan Paid My Dues playing in a rockin' band. Of course, the song goes on to state I'm going down, all the way down, I'm on a highway to hell. Katy, who dressed in white when she sang By the Grace of God, caused a bit of cognitive dissonance when she showed her true colors and joined in the devil worship. Perry, along with many others, sported her glow-in-the-dark devil horns and even made the devil horn symbol with both of her hands as she sang along with AC/DC about how she, too, is on a highway to hell. Katy Perry even went so far as to falsely claim that God spoke to her before the Super Bowl and that he supposedly said to her, you got this and I got you.
I was praying and I got a word from God and he says, you got this and I got you.
But God would not contradict himself and encourage Katy Perry to sing about kissing a girl and lesbian experimentation, behavior that she gave mass promotion to at the Super Bowl, behavior that God lovingly warns against in the biblical book of Romans chapter 1. Katy Perry has already admitted that she is not following the biblical God of creation, and many of her songs and performances obviously glorify the God of this world, Satan.
Madonna, who had already played her role of satanic worship puppet at the Grammys, actually led the introduction ceremony for this year's satanic display, as she encouraged more and more people to continue in rebellion.
I'm here to give thanks to all the rebels out there forging a new path and taking the heat for all of it. You guys need to know, all you troublemakers out there, you need to know that your fearlessness does not go unnoticed. You are seen, you are heard, and most of all,
I just wanted to make note of Madonna and particularly her appearance. She's dressed all in black, of course, like a high-level witch, and they've got pictures of her up when she was much younger and stuff, and people were shocked by her appearance because it appears she's had so much surgery until she doesn't even look human anymore. But what I wanted to make note of, it just occurred to me, I don't know if anybody remembers that statue that they put up in New York on top of one of the courthouse, I think the federal courthouse up there, and it had these, like, braids that looked like goat horns. And I'm just making note of the fact that in this particular outfit, Madonna's got her hair fixed up just like that statue. So I thought that was interesting. And none of this is done by coincidence. They coordinate these things to all the way down to the outfit some of these folks wear. So it's not an accident. It's not a joke. This is deliberate. And Madonna, as he said, has been doing this for years, going all the way back to her Like a Prayer music and Like a Virgin and all those songs from back in the day. She's been promoting a certain agenda and making mockery of God and the things of God.
You are appreciated.
The aging pop star had recently done a photo shoot in which she portrayed herself as Jesus in a display that mocked Jesus' Last Supper, where he instituted the communion service that millions upon millions of Christians have done for over 2,000 years to commemorate the death that he died to pay for the world's sins. But this is not remotely close to her first time mocking Jesus and using the outrage to further her career. And she even used such displays to normalize the very performances that have become commonplace at the Grammys. She also prophetically spoke of how she would use her homoerotic videos to normalize homosexual behavior to middle America, where it was not yet accepted. In an interview with the magazine The Advocate, she was asked about her large contingency of homosexual admirers and how she uses her reach for the aforementioned normalization. She was asked, quote, "You have a huge gay following, as I'm sure you know. What do you think you say to gay people? What message do they get? I'm a high visibility person, and I know that they know I'm completely compassionate about their choice in life, their lifestyle, and I support it. To have a person like me saying that is helpful to them. They appreciate that. But maybe there are other things. You say tribal. Maybe I want to say primal. I don't really know. A lot of the issues I deal with are sexual, and I'm constantly trying to challenge the accepted ways of behaving sexually. Maybe they appreciate that." When asked, what do teenage kids from middle America think when they see men dancing together or wearing bullet bras? Are they digesting these sophisticated images? She replied, they digest it on a lot of different levels. Some people will see it and be disgusted by it, but maybe they'll be unconsciously aroused by it. Maybe they'll be unconsciously challenged by the idea of men in women's lingerie. Then there are people who see it and are amused by it, see the irony of it, see things that maybe frightened them before, and know that it's not something to be so frightened of. If people keep seeing it and seeing it and seeing it, eventually it's not going to be such a strange thing.
So right out of the mouth of these entertainers flies in the face of what we just heard from the news report there of saying that these images and things on TV or where whatever media doesn't impact anyone.
Wide-range acceptance of perversion has only contributed to the insatiable desire of turning shameful acts into normalized behavior.
Sam graciously wanted me to accept this award because I'm the first transgender woman to win this award. And I'm so...
In the unholy song that was performed at the Grammys, it tells of a story of a husband and father stepping out of the bounds of the marriage covenant. Petras stated on a red carpet what the song was all about.
Unholy is about a guy, a friend of Sam, who cheats on his wife, and she doesn't know it, and he thinks that's cool. And Sam's kind of dragging him for it, which, as, you know, as Sam said, yeah.
As you can hear in this clip of their song Unholy, they sing... Sadly enough, millions upon millions have been singing and dancing to a song glorifying the act of adultery. Sam Smith even talked about his parents hearing the song and what they thought about it.
Oh, on the mic, you're singing some pretty naughty lyrics. Right. Have you showed this song to your parents? You know, what do they say about these lyrics?
Oh, they love it. They're used to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my parents are used to my filth.
And while many will point out the clearly wicked perversion of Smith, Madonna, and Petras in their glorification of Satanism, transgenderism, and homosexuality, we must be reminded that adultery and fornication should also not be named among those who profess Christ. From both Petras and Smith, we see the sad reality of what it looks like to have parents who are unwilling to guard a child's heart who is bent towards wickedness. Such acceptance is not a showcase of love, but an act of cowardice. The Bible warns that in the end times, people will be lawless. In fact, believers are warned to not let our hearts wax cold when we see lawlessness increasing. Instead of waxing cold, we should remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who told us to endure through such times. The Apostle Paul, when writing to Timothy, predicted that it would look quite similar to these very displays that we see going on. Quote, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God." But in this very letter, which was a living eulogy, as Paul was about to be put to death and was writing his young disciple, he didn't tell him to freak out and lose hope. He reminded him of the truth of God's word and how it would be this very thing used against the forces of the evil one. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. One thing I would never want to happen with this video is simply to have a bunch of people yelling at clouds and yelling at the world. The truth is, it's sad. It's a heartbreaking thing. In fact, the Bible actually talks about it being a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so we do look at it and we are sad for those who have taken this life, people like Sam Smith, people like Kim Petras, people like Madonna and Katy Perry and all of them. And we do recognize the true warning that Jesus gave for causing little ones to stumble, that it would be better if they just had a millstone wrapped around their neck and they were thrown into the middle of the sea. And for those who love Jesus, this lawlessness that is increasing, we need to look at it and say our redemption does draw near. And just as much as the suppression of truth and unrighteousness, as so many do, they don't want to believe that it's true. They, in fact, they want to deny that there's a creator. But the problem is that the Bible makes it clear that God, through his creative order, has made it evident within them. And that's why they hold down. That's why they suppress the truth. And I did the exact same thing before I came to know Christ. And the truth is the Bible says very clearly, some of the graces that God has given us, not only that conscience, not only the Holy Spirit, but also even in creation. And the Bible says that everything that has been made is evidently seen in the hearts of man. We know deep down that there is a God. And it's so interesting because I was in that place where I suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. I held it down because I wanted to do as thou wilt, just like so many others have. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus did something entirely different. Not only are we promised that if we follow him, we'll live a life. Not only the life that he gives, but the life that he gives is one that's more abundant. In fact, all these commandments that people consider rigid and old and they hurt you and they just keep you from doing what you want to do, he says they're not burdensome. In fact, they're for our good. In fact, when you come to Jesus, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. But yet this yoke of sin is heavy and it weighs you down and pulls you down. So as much as the world wants to push and tell you, just go, 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 continue in your sin, do what you want, whatever feels right, the truth is, the only thing that will ever feel right, the only joy unexplainable and a peace that surpasses understanding will come from you, turning from the world and turning to Jesus. recognizing that he is your maker. Not a single thing in this world came into being but by him. And not only did that creator make you and know you, but guess what? He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life and died a horrible, excruciating death on the cross. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, he said something very important, and it relates to how he taught his disciples how to pray. In what is called the Lord's Prayer, but it's really to us, to show us how to pray, Jesus says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And in fact, that's the only part that he commentates on. It's the only part of that prayer that he says after, "If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven." But the word that is used there to describe sin is very interesting. It's a word that is used to describe a debt that someone has. And that debt that you have, every time you sin, every time you lied, you want to talk about homosexuality, transgenderism, Satanism, whatever it is, but every time you lied and did not tell the truth, every time you stole something and took something that wasn't yours, every time you hated in your heart someone else, it was murder. And those debts that you have could be stacked up as high as the heavens over and over again. But the good news is that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, and he lived a perfect life. And not only did he live a perfect life, but then he was put to death. And before he went to that death, one that he knew was coming, one he warned his disciples about that was coming, before he went to that death, he made it very, very clear the night before, something that is important for you and I, and I really hope you pay attention to this. That's why we make these videos. He cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane. His capillaries had popped and burst, and he sweat blood drops. And while he was doing that, he was crying out to the Father in heaven, and he was saying, "Let this cup pass from me. If there was any other way by which man could be saved, let this cup pass from me." But then he said, not like the Satanists, not like millions of people all over the world that just say, "I want to do what I want. I want to do what thou wilt." Jesus said, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." Because he knew he was going to be taking on the full cup of the wrath of God for the sins of the world. And that's why, before his spirit left his body, he said an accounting term, tetelestai, which meant paid in full. The sins of the world were paid in full at the cross of Jesus Christ. So all that debt from the sins that you have committed were paid for at Jesus Christ. And here's what you need to do. Right now, if you do not know Christ, you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because on the day of judgment, it doesn't matter if you've fallen for Satanism or simply fallen for a lie, that there is some other way to be with the Father other than Jesus Christ. And on judgment day, if God sees you and you think that your good works are going to get you in, just know they are filthy garments. They are filthy rags that will never get you anywhere. And ultimately, the garments that you need to be seen in are the ones given to you by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, so that when God looks on you on the day of judgment, he doesn't see you, but he sees his Son, and he sees the tetelestai paid in full. All their sins have been bought and paid for because you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you to do that right now. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, come to him. Go to him. The Bible says quite clearly in Romans chapter 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, you shall be delivered. You shall be saved.
Okay. So that's good video I wanted to share, and I let it go to the end mostly because I think that part of it is important too, particularly for us as believers, and contending for the faith doesn't always have to be arguing and fighting and debating in that sense. And it might include some of that as you reason with the people that you're talking to and witnessing to about the Lord. But at the end of the day, we have to point them back to Jesus, lift him up, and present the gospel to him, to them rather, so that and that has to be a part of contending as well. And I just wanted to listen to this last part just to emphasize that we're not here. It's not our place to condemn these folks to hell or anything. Only God can do that. But that doesn't mean just don't say it, just be silent when we see what's going on, because we know the spiritual implications of all of this stuff. So the next person I wanted to bring up concerning the Grammys, who did get some mention, is Beyonce. And she won an award for her latest album called Renaissance. And Beyonce has been almost like the next Madonna, where she has depicted herself as goddesses, and she has these certain imageries that mock God. One of the more recent ones I'm thinking about is a photo shoot she's done where she has depicted herself as the rider of all four horses in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. So she's got pictures out there of her on all four of those horses. One of the things she ran into with this Renaissance album, for which she won the award, it caused quite a bit of backlash some months back, and it's a song called Church Girl. And aside from the song being a complete mockery of the church, and because it's got lyrics that suggest that, you know, a church girl, you live one way by on Sunday, but you're doing other things, and it's almost like jeering and mocking and saying, oh, you know you want to go to the club, you know you want to be free and do all these things. So that's kind of the gist of the song from what I've seen with people talking about it. But the biggest backlash was the fact that she sampled at the beginning of the song a clip of a song by the Clark Sisters, who we know are very big in the church. They've been around a long time, particularly in the Church of God in Christ denomination. And so she sampled this song belonging to them, and a lot of people were upset about it. And I will listen to a little of this video where a guy's talking about the controversy and how seemingly the Clark Sisters don't seem to have a problem with her doing that. But let's not forget, they were up on the stage with Snoop Dogg a couple years ago when he made his so-called gospel album. They collaborated with him.
Bringing out the best in your team is...
What's going on, guys? Pastor Fred Shakir. I totally understand the necessity of building bridges with the unbelieving world. I understand the necessity of sharing the gospel and being a light, being kind and tenderhearted to the unbelieving world. I totally understand that. But never should we compromise our beliefs. Never should we compromise the standards of the Bible in the efforts to build a bridge. This is where the church gets it wrong. Beyonce released an album called Renaissance, a song called Church Girl, which is a terrible song. Now, for the most part, the church has rejected that song, rejected Beyonce for that. But the Clark Sisters, out of all people who should be the main ones rejecting it, they are the main ones endorsing it. Clark Sisters ought to be ashamed of themselves.
All right, now y'all leave Beyonce alone. Leave her alone. Yeah, y'all leave Beyonce alone.
Leave her alone.
Center of his will. Leave her alone. As long as she got something in there, that's all right. Amen. Something in there. Look at somebody say something in there.
Nothing's in there.
And it's all about being in the center of his will.
This is my major problem. Dorinda Clark is caving in to the pressure of being liked and approved of the world. She would rather be approved of the world than to be approved of God. These women in the music industry, gospel artists in the music industry, this is one of the major criticisms that they face, that they really want to be accepted by the world. They want to be accepted and approved and validated by the world, so they would much rather offend God then offend the world, offend Beyonce. God forbid you say something about Beyonce and the beehive comes at you. right? We don't care what, if we offend God, we don't really care about judgment day. We don't really care about our actions now. Dorinda Clark Cole knows that Beyonce should be corrected. She should be rebuked. Now, Dorinda said there's a little bit of God. If there's a little bit of God in Beyonce, she's going to be okay. She's going to be okay. Well, let me just read you some of these lyrics from Beyonce's song, Church Girl. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this is a snapshot into Beyonce's heart, what she actually thinks about herself, about God, about everything. Let's look. I'm not going to read you all because they're too explicit to read on my channel. But let me just read you this first little three verses. I'm warning everybody, as soon as I get into this party, I'm going to let go of this body. I'm going to love on me. Nobody can judge me but me. I was born free. So we already see right off the gate that this is about me. This is about self-love. The Bible says that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. She says, I'm going to love on me. She's a lover of herself. And she says, nobody can judge me but me. Isn't that convenient, Beyonce? Nobody can judge you but you. Although we make judgments every single day, but nobody can judge you but you. The Bible says that we judge a tree by its fruit. The spiritual man can judge all things, but the unbeliever cannot judge or cannot assess or evaluate the spiritual man. The Bible says that we must judge righteously, not judge hypocritically. Matthew 7, 1 through 5, not judge hypocritically. And, of course, God is the ultimate judge. And when you get in front of him, there's no turning back. It's too late. I was born free. Isn't that also convenient? You're not born free. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You are a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. But she thinks she's her own Savior. There is no God in Beyonce. None whatsoever. But Dorinda Clark is not alone. Her sister Twinkie, the one who wrote the song that Beyonce sampled, Twinkie actually made a video thanking Beyonce for using her song.
Hi, everybody. I just want to share a good word with you. And first of all, God is awesome. He has done great things for me. The scripture says in Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth, in the good times and the bad times. There's a line of a song I wrote that Beyonce included in her new song, Church Girl. That says, center of thy will. That means I want to be in the will of God. Thanks, Beyonce, for listening to my music, and I hope it blesses your soul.
Beyonce used your song to appeal to church girls. You might be thinking, well, that's a good thing. Beyonce is trying to appeal to church. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing because Beyonce is encouraging them to be H-O-E-S's in thoughts and being worldly.
All right. So that's just the controversy that with Beyonce probably about 6 months ago when this happened, and there was some back and forth about it. But what did she do at the Grammys? It was, you know, the usual, but her acceptance speech, there have been some comments about that since the Grammys. So let's listen to a little of this.
Okay. Well, this is an honor. We are witnessing history tonight, breaking the record for the most Grammy wins of all time. Be outstanding and show your respect. It's Renaissance, Beyonce. Thank you.
I'm trying not to be too emotional. And I'm trying to just receive this night. I want to thank God for protecting me. Thank you, God. I'd like to thank my Uncle Johnny, who's not here, but he's here in spirit. I'd like to thank my parents, my father, my mother, for loving me and pushing me. I'd like to thank my beautiful husband, my beautiful three children who are at home watching. I'd like to thank the queer community for your love and for inventing this genre. God bless you. Thank you so much to the Grammys. Thank you.
Okay. Now, what God is she thinking? Out of one side, she's the speech sounds okay, and then the next thing you know, she's thanking the queer community, and I guess that's the genre that she won in or something. So there were some folks that had comments about that, and rightfully so, because she represents herself as a Christian, but yet she does all these other unchristian and anti-Christ things. So you have to look at other things besides what they say out of their mouth, because some people are satisfied when they hear that she hear her say thank God, but what God do you mean? And just a little bit on what actually drives Beyonce. She's done several interviews about what she calls Sasha Fierce. And it's like, and she describes it as like an entity that comes upon her to help her with her performances and stuff. So let's listen to a bit of this. Going to fast forward somewhat because there's some other things in here, but we just want to get to the part that I'm talking about.
She claims that she even wants to hold video to feel possessed.
I want to be so wild, almost possessed. And I want the whole video to feel possessed.
Beyonce may have found more than she bargained for and ended up getting possessed by a spirit. Rolling Stone stated in one article on Beyonce, quote, a woman possessed, Beyonce is gripped by a spirit so powerful it even has a name, Sasha, end quote. Beyonce said in an extra interview, quote, I think Sasha Fierce is part of me. That's why the name of the album was I Am Sasha Fierce. She goes on to say, she lives within me.
I think Sasha Fierce is a part of me. That's why the name of the album was I Am Sasha Fierce, because it's all the same. She lives within me.
Beyonce claims that she is typically more reserved and cannot sing with as much power, but when this spirit entity possessed her body, it energized her vocal ability and caused her performances to skyrocket.
I'm really kind of shy, and not really shy, but more reserved, and nothing like Sasha. But I guess I wouldn't be very entertaining on the stage, so Sasha comes out, and she's fearless. You know, she can do things that I cannot do when I'm in rehearsal. I mean, I can try, but then it just doesn't happen. I can sing notes and sing strong and do all these things that when I'm just by myself, I can't do. And I remember right before I performed, I raised my hands up, and it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me,
Strangely, Beyonce in the past is a picture.
All right. I wanted you to hear Beyonce herself saying that because she describes that like a spirit that's possessing her, and she's saying she can't even sing in a certain way without this spirit, and it looks like since this time, she has just gone on to just embrace it and do, you know, and do all these other things. So we're going to want to get to another part of this performance, and her husband, Jay-Z, also did a on-stage performance of a song that's supposedly about God. It's called God Did, and he did this with several other rappers. But a little on Jay-Z, he has always depicted himself as God. Going all the way back to some of his earlier albums, one song that I want to point to where he does this, because he has several nicknames that he goes by. One of them is Jehovah. He goes by Hova. And what does that sound like? But we're going to talk about one song called Izzo that he did back in the day. And by the way, he and Kanye West collaborated on that song. Kanye was the producer of the music behind it. But just to read what I see is the meaning for Izzo, the line. And now listen to this, because it's actually spelling out his God nickname. H to the Izzo, V to the Izze is a slang method of spelling out H-O-V-A, Hova. It was a trend in the rap community to put I-Z-Z in words. Hova refers to what Jay-Z calls his God name, which is Jehovah, because he says he's Jehovah, the God MC. And so he repeatedly refers to himself as God, and there are a lot of these types of lyrics in his music. But we're going to get to the Grammy performance. Someone did a critique of it, so we're going to watch that video.
I'm afraid our time.
After the commercials. Okay, here we go.
Blessings, family. Welcome back. ABS here, and today's message is not for the lighthearted. I know that some people have idols in their lives.
Hi, this is Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
This is Madonna, the mother of Jesus.
And this video is a warning against anybody who has been idolizing celebrities. I have some things to show you that I think may shock some of you, and others of you are very, very aware and awake already. So this is simply going to be, you know, more confirmation of what you already know to be true. Now, we're going to be talking about the 65th Grammy Awards, where a group of musicians performed a gospel track. Now, I say gospel track very lightly, because this is definitely not a gospel track, but they call it a gospel track, and it is called God Did. Now, the song was brought together by Jay-Z, DJ Khaled, John Legend, Lil Wayne, and some other artists such as Rick Ross. Now, I don't really know much about these artists, but I know that they are cowards, for a start, and I know that they are fake. That is something I do know. And despite its title, God Did, the title that they chose for the song, I want to make it clear that the performance was not a celebration of faith, which is what I'm going to show you and explain in a second, but rather a mockery of it. And we're also going to go through the lyrics of the song later on. So I'm not apologizing, actually, but if any of you are fans of these artists, it's time to drop them. You need to stop idolizing these celebrities who are actually demonic. They are actually liars and deceivers. Now, the opulent staging, which included a Last Supper-style table overflowing with produce, was a far cry from the reverence and respect that should be shown towards the Most High Yah. And just in case anybody is unaware of this, which I'm sure nobody is, but the Most High Yah's name should never be used in vain. We find this out in the scripture, Exodus 27, and using it for anything other than worship and praise, using his name, should I say, for anything other than worship and praise, is disrespectful. It is using his name in vain, and it is actually very, very evil. Additionally, believers are warned against those who mock the faith. So we have scriptures backing up the facts. We have scriptures prophesying, actually, about what will come to pass and what people will do in the last days, and we are witnessing it today. there are a lot of people who will come against us. They'll actually try to curse us, especially when we preach the truth unapologetically and we call out people who are serving Satan and we don't sugarcoat our words. And I'm going to give this warning before I move on with the video. The scripture is clear. If you agree with the unrighteous actions of people, you are just as bad as the people who are committing the unrighteous action. So think before you make your decision who you are pledging allegiance to. Is it the Most High Yah, or are you aligning yourself with false prophets, with demonized people and idols? Okay, now that is out of the way, for those of you who are still here, who are ready to hear the truth, who don't need it sugarcoated in order to receive it, because remember, we was warned that in the last days, people would seek out preachers who itch people's ears. Now, make sure that you're not seeking those type of preachers out. Make sure you're preaching when you preach without itching people's ears, and make sure that you're seeking preachers who don't itch your ears. They don't tickle your ears. Because remember, Christ is our example. And when he walked into the temple, he did it unapologetically. He called them a brood of vipers, children of their father, the devil. Yet when preachers do that today, they're called unloving. And one of the most disgusting things that I witness is when unbelievers turn around and try to quote the Bible to people who are men of the Most High Yah, women of the Most High Yah. And the scripture they normally quote to us is, shouldn't you not judge? Doesn't it say in the Bible, don't judge? No, actually, it says to judge righteously. So learn the word before you try to use it against us, because it's our sword, not yours. Now, what you're looking at on the screen is a mockery of the Last Supper. This is supposed to be a gospel track. And like I said, we're going to get to the lyrics in a minute. But they are all dressed in black. They are literally cursing when they speak. These artists are all wearing expensive clothing, expensive jewelry. They are not representing the gospel, a humble life. They are not even preaching the gospel. And in the song called God Did, which is supposed to be a gospel song, as we said earlier, they don't even give the gospel once. In fact, they blaspheme the Most High Yah multiple times. Now take a look at these lyrics. For anybody who is still doubting that this might be just a false accusation that I'm bringing, I'm going to prove it to you by showing you the lyrics in the song. Okay, now what you're looking at are the lyrics to God Did, the song. And Jay-Z is the one who is saying these lyrics right here. Now, I'm not going to repeat the curse words, but remember, this is supposed to be a gospel song, right? But look what it says right here. Now, listen to this. They said, they done effed around and gave the right, well, these ain't songs. These is hymns, because I'm him. Now, understand what Jay-Z is claiming here. He calls himself Hov, by the way, which is meant to be a reference to what some people believe the Most High's name is, which is Jehovah, and he calls himself that. So that's already blasphemy in itself. But he also says here, for anybody who has ears to hear, that he is claiming to be God. He's claiming to be Jehovah. He's claiming to be Yahuwah. He got his name wrong, so, you know, he can say Jehovah all he wants. His name is Yah, not Jeh. But anyways, back to the point, he's blaspheming the Most High Yah right here. Now, look, it gets even worse. It's the Psalm 151. This is the New Testament. You see what he's saying? Okay. Then he says, the book of Hov. So he's saying the book that is the New Testament is his book. You see? Now he comes directly for the Messiah in an apparent gospel track. Remember that. Remember that. And he says, the book of Hov. Jesus turned water to wine. For Hov, it just took a stove. Okay, so for those of you who don't quite get what he's saying here, I'm sure most of you do, but he's saying, you know, Jesus turned water to wine. Yep, we know that. Well, for Hov, he's referencing himself, using part of what people believe the Most High's name to be and applying it to himself. And then he says, it just took a stove. In other words, he cooked up drugs. And he's saying, you know, Jesus turned water to wine, and he's comparing his drug-dealing lifestyle, which led to what he perceives to be success, to what Jesus did, turning things to wine. Now, I find it hard to even say these lyrics, by the way. I find it hard to even speak this to you because it is so disgustingly blasphemous. But I'm telling you, so praise Yah, and I hope that you understand what's going on here. I could go through all these lyrics and show you so many disgusting, blasphemous things. But either way, these people are wicked, they are deceived, and to be honest, I don't want them to go to hell. I do want them to repent. So, you know, if any of the people who made the song, you are watching it right now, and you're hearing my voice, I know that you have a lot of followers, a lot of subscribers.
Okay, so that's pretty much it with Jay-Z and this song, God Did. It more promotes a prosperity-type gospel than anything else, and that's what these guys are rapping about, and Jay-Z is the most profane among all of them, particularly how he depicts himself as God all the time, and he's been doing that for years. So now we're going to get to some Christian responses to what happened at the Grammys and about what some Christian leaders or what people consider Christian celebrities have had to say about this. Of course, Kirk Franklin is among them, and we'll get to him in a bit. But I wanted to talk about one guy, Dietrich Haddon, also chimed in on this, so we're going to listen to his video, I'm going to fast forward through some of what this person's saying, because I just want to get to Dietrich's comments on here, but he's a gospel singer and also a preacher, and he appeared on the show canceled, thank God, the Preachers of L.A. He was on there with the likes of Noel Jones and Clarence McClendon and a couple of other guys, and the show was just a hot mess. And he's had a lot of controversy attached to his name as well, but he was a pretty popular gospel singer for the most part. So we're going to listen to what he had to say about the fact that Christians were at this Grammys and in the room when that Sam was doing his demonic performance dressed as the devil.
Come on. Got it. So they have to sit there and listen to us. So if Beyonce or Sam Smith or whoever, whatever artist, a hip-hop artist, decide to perform what their vision is for their song, we have to be there to listen to see it. You know, whether you appreciate it or not, you have to be there and participate just like they listen to you, right? And that's only fair. Let's be fair. Let's take the being super deep out of the equation. This got to be fair. They heard you sing about, oh, Jesus, hey, oh, Lord. Now they want to get up and say, hey, baby, baby, let me, man, 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 man. You got to be there. Hey, it's the Grammys. And it should give you an opportunity to learn and give you insight on the different genres. That's the one platform where you get a chance to be schooled on who's hot, who's not, what's going on, what they're listening to, what's going on, how they like to perform. It's really a learning opportunity. But for you to get up because somebody decides for their performance to be some demonic performance, whatever, and for you to get up and walk out, to me, it's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Now, I'm looking at y'all. I'm looking at your comments. It's a major sign of, one, spiritual immaturity, and it's a sign of self-righteousness. Like, we're greater, and you don't, you know, we're not going to participate. But they just sat there and listened to you do all your singing and preaching. And so that's not the witness we want to share with the world, right? That we're self-righteous, right? Or that we're spiritually immature. For you to stand up and get up and walk out because they decide to do some devil demonic thing, because I guess you're scared that something's going to get on you or whatever, I don't know. I thought 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's within you than he that's going on that stage doing the demonic seance, whatever they're doing. I don't care what they're doing. It don't faze me one bit because it has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost that's in me. The greater one lives in me. The light shines in me, and there's no darkness, no evil that can penetrate this light. It's too strong.
Please. So that's Dietrich Haddon, a so-called Christian, a pastor, a gospel artist, And that's what he had to say, as if to say, you know, we owe them a courtesy to listen to them because they listen to us, and that you if you have a problem with that as a Christian and you have to leave, then maybe you're just not strong enough to handle it. I mean, it's ridiculous. But remember what we heard in Jude about the people who are supposedly among us. But Jude says verse 19 that these are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the spirit. And this appears to be what Dietrich is, because he's basically mocking the things of God. He does not have the Lord Jesus, his God is his belly, and he has been up there on that stage and in those rooms with those demonic performances himself, so of course he's going to try to justify it, as he does with a lot of things. So next, we're going to listen to some commentary about Kirk Franklin and his response.
Honoring Takeoff and basically just, you know, remembering Takeoff. And this is the song that he used to collaborate with Maverick City.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. This is a different video than what I wanted. Let's just look at this one. This is Kirk.
I love the community. I'm grateful that I've been able to be a part of this incredible community now for over 30 years. My first album this summer will be 30 years old. While We Sing turns 30 this June. And so being around the genre, you know, I have seen it grow. I've seen it be an infant. I've seen it, you know, stumble. I've seen it have many moments. You know, I started out when I was 23. I'm 53. And last night, to be there and to, you know, have the opportunity, you know, to do music with Maverick City and to do this joint album that we did together, and, you know, was nominated in the categories, and it was a kind night, you know, it was a kind night, and it was also for me a very challenging thing to be able to think through when I think about just the state of this community that I love. And it came to me very strongly when I was at the main show and I was watching the tribute to hip-hop and hip-hop turning 50, and watching the energy in the room. And the truth is, what I even saw there is, like, there's no other genre on this planet that could have gotten that whole arena up on their feet right like that. I mean, you could have, last night you should have been in the building. No matter what race you were, no matter what genre of music you love, black music, hip-hop music, had everybody in the room up on their feet. When Public Enemy came through the door, when LL Cool J stepped on stage, when Salt and Pepper stepped on stage, when Queen Latifah came out, when Rakim came out, you know, it was just a moment. And so what I thought to myself was, I felt sad for the genre that I'm in. It's because gospel music is the foundation of Americana. It is gospel, blues, and jazz are the original sounds of American music. And gospel, blues, and jazz, when's the last time you bought a jazz album? When's the last time you bought a blues album? And slowly, this conversation about a genre of music that has, and the difficulty with gospel music has inspired so many people.
basically he's complaining about gospel music and artists not getting proper recognition. But my question is, why would any gospel person or Christian artist want recognition and validation from the world when Jesus clearly said the world would love its own and it would hate the followers of Jesus Christ? So why are these folks even looking for that?
That we see and experience now. Chris Brown sang in the kids' choir. I mean, you know, Usher sang in the kids' choir. Justin Timberlake sang in the choir. Mariah sang in the choir. Pharrell was inspired by, you know, music. Bobby Jones. You could see your favorite gospel artist on Bobby Jones. You could see your favorite gospel artist on Celebration of Gospel. And, you know, you could see your favorite gospel artist in different outlets. And now, because the world has changed, it's not just the music, it's the world has no longer as much of an interest in the conversation we're having. And so when you have fewer doors, you begin to have more tension within the community. It's because there's fewer outlets. And
the point of him making this video is because people have been reaching out to him wanting an explanation why him and Maverick City and all and any other gospel artists were there, and maybe he's leading up to that by saying that or making an excuse where there are no real outlets for us, so what are we supposed to do? Let's continue.
I am clear on this. Oh, Sunday Best. We used to have Sunday Best. I am clear on this, and I want you to know that I'm going to say this right now. I am clear on this. There are Grammys that I have won that I did not deserve. There are Grammys in my career that I have won. There are Stellar Awards that I have won. There are Dove Awards that I have won that the only reason why I won is because the amount of time I've been around. I'm clear on that. I am clear on that. I am clear on that. It is not because I have had the better records. It's just now, after 30 years, some people, they just know my name, and they'll see your name, and I'm letting you know that's not fair. That's not fair to the community.
My Illuminati conspiracy theory is that he's just like a gatekeeper, because the devil has to keep certain people around and in place so they can bring in the new talent that'll be able to attract the young people. And I believe Maverick City Music is one of his latest people that he's putting on, because they collabed on this album and a lot of other things. So that's what I think Kirk is there for.
That's not fair to the artist. Now, and I'm not speaking of that last night. That's not what I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of, it's because last night I was with Maverick City, and Maverick City, God is blessing them. But there are other people that need to be blessed, and other people that need to be highlighted, and other people that need to be shown love. And unfortunately, we don't have those hip-hop moments like last night. I mean, think about it. Hip-hop had a moment at the Grammys. Hip-hop has a moment at the AMAs, American Music Awards. Hip-hop has a moment, of course, at the BET Awards. Hip-hop, it's like other genres and other styles of black music have moments, but gospel music is now limited to just fewer and fewer moments. And now the people that are doing it and doing it well, you may not even know them because they're just few doors. And then again, it creates discouragement and tension within my community. So this is what I wanted to do, man, is I wanted to take a minute to tell you that there are people last night that were nominated in those categories that you may not have ever heard. There are people that follow me that may not listen to gospel music. They may only know me is because they play Melodies from Heaven in the club. I mean, the only reason why you know me. You know what I'm saying? You know, you heard Melodies from Heaven, you know, when you were Sunday morning at brunch and rain down on me, you know, and you was with your girls and y'all was, you know, looking cute, and I appreciate that. But to whom much is given, much is required. So last night, since we didn't get a chance to have our 50th anniversary of hip-hop and celebrate those that are in the genre, I decided that I'm going to do it now. See, this is not what you thought it was going to be. I don't have time to talk about other artists that performed last night and respond to some people's biblocentric views about should Christians be at places that we not listen to the gospel. I don't have time to do that. I have no time to give you any theological arguments because we've been having theological arguments for millennia and have not been able to find resolve. We haven't even found resolve for racial tensions in the church. So how in the world are we going to be able to resolve who should be at what? How should we represent Christ in these secular platforms? It ain't going to happen on this line. It's because there are too many doctrines and there's too many systems of beliefs that people have, too many philosophical ideas that are not even biblocentric. They're just your own convictions. They're your own feelings that you super spiritualize. And so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do about should Christians be here, should Christians not be there, should Christians wear pants, should Christians wear makeup, you know, should we worship on the Sabbath, can gay people go to church or not? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to preach love and grace, and I'm going to allow God to be big enough that he's going to be able to separate the wheat from the tare. That's what I'm going to do. But what I am going to do is I'm going to celebrate people that you maybe didn't get a chance to know were nominated in the categories.
There you go. Kirk, but then again, why should we be surprised at what he's saying? Because this is the dude that was talking about the lion and the lamb shall bow down to the goat, and then he didn't want to really address why people should be upset about what he said. And he did the same thing here. He faked people out. Everybody went on, you know, he did this live and people tuned in because they wanted to hear what he had to say for himself about the Grammys the night before. And this is what he's, I ain't going to even address it. I don't got time, you know, because, you know, we can't agree on nothing anyway, so forget it. You know, so he basically just fooled you into tuning in and sitting through 10 minutes that you'll never get back just to hear him completely dismiss it. You know, the Bible's what we're talking about, mockers, and some of them are so-called Christian mockers, people that are supposed to be our brothers and sisters in Christ, but he had absolutely nothing to say about this situation. So let me look at a couple more videos just for some other Christian commentary on this, and we'll go from there, because I mean I'm not surprised at what Kirk said or what he did because he doesn't care.
Certainly not to glorify him, but to unmask him in order that we might see him for the corrupted and defeated character that he is.
It's hard to keep up with Sam Smith's identity at last night's Grammys.
So the Grammys is now literally glorifying and promoting Satan on live TV in front of millions of people, many of whom are children.
We're noticing because what you said it's important to do this. It was you. You decided this was an important thing to do. And now we're noticing it. And now we're analyzing why it's an important thing. And it really is an important thing because, of course, the imagery of Satan is nothing new. The imagery of Satan goes back several thousand years. There are references to Satan in the Hebrew Bible. There are references, obviously, throughout Christian theology to Satan. But it's the picture of the sort of modern Satan as a good character that I think is worthy of note here. The reason I'm bringing this up for folks who missed the Grammys, you know, like nearly all of you, is because last night, Sam Smith and a person named Kim Petras did a number in which they full-on embraced Satanism. I mean, full-on embraced Satanism.
Our adulation is supposed to be focused primarily on the singers Kim Petras and Sam Smith. They're both white males, but their win is in the best pop duo category. It's supposed to be a victory for diversity and inclusion, as these are white males who self-identify as something other than white males. Sam Smith claims to be non-binary, while Kim Petras identifies as a transgender woman, quote-unquote. Here is Petras accepting the award and congratulating himself for his historic achievements. Listen.
sponsored by Pfizer, Big Pharma, an enormously powerful corporation which we are not supposed to criticize.
Now, this all started because Lyndon Wood posted a tweet on January 28th, and he said, "Do you agree or not that Pfizer is a real danger to the world?" Zachary quote tweeted that and said, "Hardcore agree."
Yes!
Oh, my God! He's going against the mainstream narrative. He has his own opinions about something. The people lost their mind. Somebody replied and said, "So you've decided to tweet this. Here's why you shouldn't have." That basically sums up what everybody thought about this. I mean, they were ripping him apart.
In response to Smith's performance, Ian Miles Chong tweeted, "In the song, Sam Smith is singing in the clip above, 'Unholy,' he praises Balenciaga. If you don't remember, Balenciaga is the high-end fashion company that was caught using children and teddy bears in BDSM bondage gear to essentially promote child pornography."
This morning, fashion house Balenciaga, a favorite of stars like Kim Kardashian, and celebrated in song by Lizzo,
"Feeling fussy, walking in my Balenciagas,"
and Cardi B,
"I like those Balenciagas,"
facing backlash, accused of sexualizing children in a controversial new ad campaign. The luxury brand now apologizing for these photos showing little girls in Balenciaga sweatsuits with plush bears and what appeared to be BDSM-inspired harnesses, and these uncovered documents on the desk showing an excerpt from the 2008 U.S. Supreme Court opinion, U.S. v. Williams, which upheld the criminalization of pandering of child pornography. "We sincerely apologize for any offense our holiday campaign may have caused. Our plush bear bags should not have been featured with children in this campaign," adding that the documents in the Adidas partnership, including a featured page from a child pornography lawsuit, was unapproved.
Commentator Robbie Starbuck tweeted, "People like Sam Smith, who love to mock Christianity and use satanic themes, always think they're super edgy artists by doing it. In reality, it's not edgy. It's boring, vile, rehashed shock tactics that Hollywood seals clap for because they're evil and stupid. For Hollywood and the mainstream culture, Satan is just a joke, something to use to mock Christians for their hateful and backwards view of sin, hell, and judgment."
Is there really a devil? Some people think that the only thing that's very real about the devil is the fact that he's a Halloween costume and nothing more. The caricature of Satan is simply something that somebody dreamed up to scare little children into doing what their daddy tells them.
To them, Satan is not a very real threat, an enemy of God who is the prince of the power of the air.
We're under the headship of the prince of the power of the air. What we're supposed to see is unity in Christ's body. But instead, what we see in that first paragraph is that men are enemies of God, enemies of Christ. We're supposed to see the glory that the body gives to its head, but instead what we see is man, because of his flesh, because of his body, because of his mind, pursuing his own glory and his own appetites as opposed to the glory of God in Christ. We have a problem, and it is significant.
But the truth is that Satan is not at all a joke. He is a very real enemy with very real influence over people in this world. And while people like Sam Smith and Kim Petras may not take Satan seriously, they are unaware of the fact that they are being used by Satan, even in performing their song mocking the idea of Satan.
There's no question about the fact that our Lord was convinced of the reality of Satan. All throughout his ministry, he spoke regarding Satan. He went around casting demons out. He went around undoing the deeds that Satan was attempting to do.
However, as Christians, while we should certainly be aware of Satan's evil influence in this world, we should never fear Satan, because we know that Jesus Christ has already won the decisive victory over Satan on the cross.
In John 12:31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Our Lord is saying, "I am in conflict with Satan. I'm going to the cross to win the victory." Our Lord knew what he was doing. He knew that he was in conflict with a real person. Why? Because he had known this being in eternity from the time that he created him, and he knew him all the way through till he fell, and from then on he knew him. He knew exactly who he was dealing with. And there's one person that the devil will never fool, and that's the God that made him.
Thank you so much for watching it to the end.
Okay, and I just want to read up for some scriptures a little bit here to address a little bit of what Dietrich Haddon had said, and also Kirk. especially their justification of being present and Kirk's just refusal to even address it. The first scripture is Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. This is the one I want to get to for Dietrich in particular, verse 22. The light of the body is in the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So Dietrich is saying the light in him is too strong, and that's a prideful attitude because the Bible does tell us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And so if the light in him is darkness, how great is that darkness? These are Jesus' words. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is a friend of God. And of course, 2 Corinthians 6 that talks about, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with the temple of idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's been my time, and I thank you so much for yours. Have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah.